see. Our agenda is in IRC. Today on the agenda, we have to discuss a couple of wrap-up things on the Jason LD candidate rec phase. We have a discussion about OData and Jason LD alignment, an update on the implementation reports for Jason LD, and then a plan for proposed recommendation. I think for the vast majority of the call, we are going to be focusing on the OData stuff and trying to figure out if there's something that we can do to address some of Mike's concerns. Okay. Anything else that needs to be added to the agenda? Anything else we should be discussing today?
I would like, well, it should probably go under the test reports part, but to mention the status of the JSON LD support for RDFlib that I've been trying to have some time to work on. I have to and from RDF covered except for 8 tests, and there are some of those I'd just like to mention why they are problematic if there is time. Otherwise, I could do it on the list. And then, so I think that should be able to fit into the slot we dedicate for status of implementations.
Okay, all right, sounds good. Okay, if there are no other additions to the agenda, let's go ahead and get started. OData, JSON LD alignment. Mike, would you mind giving us just a brief overview of your kind of thoughts on the matter, and then we can kind of go into a discussion on that?
Sure. And I'll start by saying I kind of agree. It's unfortunate that the two groups didn't get together earlier and kind of talk about some of the common problems, because I think we could have done a lot to try to align OData's JSON format and JSON LD. Mm-hmm. And I realize it's late in both products to do anything at this point, at least for version 1 of both products, but I hope at least by opening the conversation we can have a greater awareness of each other, and moving forward might be able to, in future versions, align more closely, mm-hmm. if nothing else.
Yep.
This kind of came about when I was sitting in a schema.org meeting, and we were discussing how we might represent data as described by schema.org in JSON. And we're talking about, well, would we want to use a JSON LD format, or would we want to use OData's JSON format? And really, we were trying both, whether we're using JSON LD or OData's JSON format, we're trying to do the same thing, right? And if you forget about any of the keywords, I'll be careful not to use the term markup. If you forget about some of the keywords and instead you just think about, if you looked at the schema.org schema for a movie in Creative Works and you wanted to encode the data for that in JSON, it would look the same whether it was OData's JSON or JSON LD. The thing that would differ between them is how we added information about the type or some of the other context information that we wanted to add to the payload. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I looked at that and I'm like, well, we're trying to solve the same problem. In both cases, we're trying to add information to the payload. Mm-hmm. We're trying not to conflict with whatever properties the type might already have defined. Mm-hmm. And we're doing it differently and perhaps arbitrarily differently. Mm-hmm. So is there any way that we could try to bring those together? Now, ultimately, and there's also a great deal of overlap, of course, in what information we are adding to that payload. In both cases, we're trying to add type information, we're trying to add other context information, we're trying to do aliasing, we're trying to do all of this other stuff, and, you know, again, it just seemed a shame that we didn't have a common way to do some of that stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to start by saying, okay, you know, ultimately it would be great if we got to the point where the same keyword was understood by JSON LD and OData's JSON, but both are far along. If at least we could have a common way to mark up, oops, I said the word, a common way to add keywords to a payload, then we can, over time, agree on the meaning of those keywords. And having not agreeing on the keywords up front means that there needs to be a way, if we both add a keyword that happens to have the same name, that we can distinguish between JSONLD's meaning for that keyword and OData's meaning for that keyword. Mm-hmm. So I was really trying to take an initial baby step in paving the way for greater alignment moving forward, and was kind of basing it on something like microdata, which would take an HTML payload and then add information to that payload that a processor could pick up and use to semantically understand what that payload was representing. Mm-hmm. So that was sort of the genesis of the email that I sent out. I looked at JSONLD, although not in detail, and I looked at OData, which I understand a little bit deeper, and I'm like, okay, on the surface, how could we start to bring these together? How could we have a common way to add keywords to payloads that, number one, don't conflict with, or at least reduce the likelihood of conflicting with built-in properties that the objects are likely to define, and number two, wouldn't conflict with each other, and number three, wouldn't conflict with some third party coming in with their own way of doing something, such that you can have a common payload, a common way to represent a movie, and whether a processor understood it as JSONLD or OData's JSON or Facebook's JSON or anybody else's JSON, it could be the same fundamental data. So that was sort of my high-level goal and what I was thinking when I initially posted on the mailing list.
Yeah, and I think that the vast majority of what you said, if not everything that you said, I think most of the group would agree with, right? I mean, the whole thing that we're trying to do here is just add keywords to JSON payloads, and then some extra information on how you should interpret those keywords, and do it in a way that doesn't conflict with the data that's already there.
Exactly.
So I agree at a high level with what you're saying. I think the question that we explored during the last call was, if we don't do anything now, is there still room to do something in the future? And I think that the answer to that, at least that the group came to, was that yes, there was. And then the other unknowns were about some of the more kind of details about how you achieve something like this. So, for example, from what I think that we understood last time was that, OData ships stuff over the application JSON MIME type, which means that there could be conflicts with other keywords. For example, if you just use type TYPE, that could conflict with other JSON data that's out there that's shipped as application JSON. And so one of the things that JSONLD did was create a new MIME type so that at least if you use that MIME type, the meaning of, for example, the app type keyword or the app context keyword was very well understood, at least from the standpoint of using that MIME type. So, for example, if somebody uses that MIME type, then there's a very clear way of interpreting app context and that kind of stuff. So the question was, should we have some kind of higher level MIME type that says that this document could contain both JSONLD and OData in the future? Or could we take another approach where we say that, OData, there could be a profile of OData for JSONLD. So if you wanted to embed both OData and JSONLD, in the same document, you could use the application LD plus JSON MIME type, and then you could use an OData context in there to express the OData information so that both the OData keywords and the JSONLD keywords wouldn't have you wouldn't have an issue interpreting them. There's still the question of whether or not they'd conflict. So that was one of the kind of high-level questions, or low-level questions, I guess, we had, is, you know, if we wanted to do alignment, exactly how could we achieve it? Because at this point, what I think we have is that we have both specs that are in their kind of final legs. We have fairly large deployment with JSON-LD and Gmail. So going in there and changing some of the keywords would be... it would be very problematic for the people that have already adopted JSON-LD, basically. So changing something in the spec at this point seems like it would be problematic, but there are still, we think, ways that we could do alignment in the future, you know, when JSON-LD 1.1 or JSON-LD 2.0 comes out. So Mike, do you... Did the OData group discuss any of the MIME-type issues, or did you talk about maybe having a context, the JSON-LD context for OData?
So we did. So as you said, OData doesn't define a different MIME type. We do use application JSON. We have format parameters added to the application JSON that specify basically what sets of keywords you might want to add to the JSON. Mm-hmm. And so when you're talking to an OData service through the OData protocol, the default is to add a minimal level of keywords to the payload. You can explicitly say you want a full set of keywords or you want no keywords added. Mm-hmm. And then the default, if you're talking to a non-OData service, would presumably be none. But we did it that way so that we weren't so that we got a lot. So let me back up a little bit. We're the OData specification that OASIS is in the process of finalizing is really what we call OData version 4, and so we had three versions before that that were. Developed through an open process, but we're not in the standard community. In OData's 1 and 2, we defined a JSON format that was conceptually similar to what you're doing in JSON-LD as far as adding keywords. Mm-hmm. So we had certain keywords, we called it metadata, and we tried to distinguish it from other keywords by prefacing it with underscore, underscore. And then that's where we put a lot of additional information about types and so forth. And then we had a couple other similar keywords that we could add throughout the document. But metadata, you can think of conceptually very similar to context in JSON-LD. And in that case, we could have used our own MIME type, but we didn't. Even then, we used application JSON. We got a lot of feedback when people looked at the JSON format that, yes, this is JSON, but there's too much other stuff in it that doesn't look like JSON. So this construct with all this nested information and so forth doesn't look or feel like JSON. Yes, it's a JSON encoding of this information, but, you know, I'm trying to look for, I'm looking at, again, a JSON payload that represents a movie. I'm looking for title and actors and directors and running time and rating and so forth. And there's this other stuff that's mixed in there. So with OData version 3 and then really into OData in the standards, we've worked to define a JSON format that looks as much as possible like handcrafted JSON. Adding minimal keywords to it and relying on convention clients to be able to derive information from metadata where it's not included, similar to what you've done with context and the header that can reference out-of-band knowledge for bringing in the information that you need to understand the JSON-LD payload. So part of trying to make the degenerative form of OData's JSON look just like JSON was the explicit decision to say, you know, rather than define a new MIME type, we really want to just follow the rules of JSON. And we understood that the challenge that we had in doing that was that there was the potential for overlap between the keywords that we were defining and the properties that might exist on the objects. And initially, our intention was to use dots in the property names to distinguish between properties of the object and the keywords that we were adding, and to allow other people to add keywords or other markup to the document as well, using the same convention.
Mm-hmm.
It was pointed out that, and the reason we use dots, by the way, is because they weren't generally used in like a JavaScript serializer, deserializer. You had to use an extra call in order to get them. So it was sort of already reserved. It was legal, but not commonly used.
Mm-hmm.
We did get feedback. In fact, when I started looking at the integration between JSON-LD and OData's JSON, that there, in fact, even though dots were kind of a pain in JSON, there were some different systems that did use dots in the system,
mm-hmm.
One of which is within my own company, so I had to kind of listen to that as well. So we did end up adopting, actually, the at prefix in OData's JSON format to say this by convention. And again, somebody could name a property at odata.type as a property of their object and we conflict, but it seemed like the likelihood of that was relatively low.
Mm-hmm.
So we ended up defining that convention and reusing the JSON MIME type rather than inventing a new MIME type, so that again, our degenerative case of no metadata was just simply JSON.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So your options for moving forward sound interesting, particularly the idea that, I like the idea that we might be able to add OData information to a JSON-LD payload.
Mm-hmm.
I like more the idea that moving forward, we might be able to sort of come to common terms on a pure JSON MIME type keyword convention.
Mm-hmm.
So that, and as you say, the fact that you are defining keywords without a JSON-LD qualifier in your own MIME type, mm-hmm. doesn't prevent in the future defining the same keywords or even a merged set of keywords, which would be ideal,
mm-hmm.
in the JSON format with the prefix. So that's encouraging, and it's encouraging that you guys at least appear to be open to considering that as a possibility.
Yeah. Well, if I understood you correctly, OData currently uses the at symbol at the beginning, or you were thinking about doing that?
I actually just push through a change, which did end up delaying the standardization, but in anticipation of hoping that there could optimistically be some type of alignment here in the future,
mm-hmm.
Push through a change that added the at prefix.
Okay, great.
So I think if in the future we wanted to collaborate on a common convention for application JSON, for adding these types of keywords, that we're well set up now to do that.
Okay, good. Yeah, and that seemed to be kind of the first, at least something that we have agreement on as far as just, you know, how do you specify metadata keywords? Well, just use an at symbol at the beginning. That seems like we already have that, right? Neither
right.
group really has to do much at this point to have that. And so I'd be a bit, it feels like the JSON community might push back on you know, application JSON being extended to have the at, you know, prefix mean something special. But let's say that there's a huge pushback on that, then all we have to do is move to a different type of, you know, different MIME type, like, you know,
right.
Using application/LD+JSON would be fine because it's kind of, you know, linked data. It could be OData plus JSON. We could say that both MIME types are interpreted in the same way using the
mm-hmm.
same sort of rules. So, yeah, I think there's plenty of opportunity here to collaborate in the future, and we have the groundwork kind of set already to do that collaboration in the future. So I don't think that this is a bad thing, right? We're both on the call. I think there's a desire to kind of work together on this in the future. We are both at the end of our spec cycles, OData at 4 and JSON-LD at 1.0. But the JSON-LD group is going to continue to operate for the foreseeable future. Maybe the idea here is we just go ahead and we have the at sign in the beginning. We have a desire to work together. Let's go ahead and push the specs out and get them solid. And then in the next iteration, talk about how we get a bit more alignment. Whether it's at OData dot and then something and then the JSON-LD keywords are just in a registry somewhere, or if we have a registry for all of these metadata mechanisms. Mm-hmm. So we have basically a JSON at prefix registry, metadata registry, and it has all of the OData keywords, at keywords, and it has all of the JSON-LD at keywords. That's another option that we could explore. Yeah.
Maybe you need to expand on that. I found that a little confusing. A registry, that how would that relate to a context? Is it something to be used to avoid overlap of otherwise compatible specifications?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. So the idea here is that there are multiple paths that we could take, right? One of them is let's say that OData and JSON-LD deviate completely, right? And then and OData basically keeps the application JSON MIME type and a couple extra parameters and continues down that path. JSON-LD has another MIME type and goes down that pipe that path, right? I think that's the worst, almost the worst case scenario at this point. We completely diverge. The next thing that we could do to try and move the two specs together is create some kind of common MIME type. We either extend application/JSON to include a set of metadata keywords, and if we do that, we would probably want to specify in some registry somewhere, ITF or something, that there are a set of keywords that can be used for metadata expression in JSON, and then we would include the OData keywords and the JSON-LD keywords in there, right? So that's the second option. The third option is that OData could, or JSON-LD could create an OData context, JSON-LD context, that would specify all the OData keywords in it so that a JSON-LD document could encapsulate both JSON-LD and OData, and all you'd need is this OData context to do it. And then the OData processors would be able to look at that JSON-LD document and extract OData information from that. JSON-LD processors would effectively be able to do the same thing. So I think those are at least the three paths that I can see for collaboration in the future. I don't know if that was helpful in explaining what I was trying to express, Greg.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay.
I'm not sure I captured your first option in my notes.
That's fine. I'll go ahead and put it in when we clean up the minutes. Nicholas, you're on the queue.
Yeah. I just want to reflect on some of the options or the possibilities here. I find it a bit disconcerting that we're talking about registries and things like that, because I mean there is the MIME type solution is well defined and standardized already. To introduce other ways of indirection and sort of turn JSON into something which should be able to encompass things that XML already serves a certain purpose for and has already shown us problems with, is sort of worrying to me. I would like, when we continue to investigate this in the future, to keep in mind the actual use cases and what the effects on the amount of energy that you as a data consumer have to expend to distinguish between all these different ways of structural differences. In JSON-LD itself is trying to keep the level of indirection as low as possible with the simple keywords and few keywords, and most importantly being based on RDF for the entire layer of semantic interoperability, which is sort of the core purpose of JSON-LD, and having that within these specific MIME types sort of makes it done from my point of view, and with fairly practical, for pragmatic reasons, we have certain variations in syntax, but the core purpose of JSON-LD is just to encode something which has a very well-defined way of semantic meaning, which is the RDF itself.
Any other... go ahead, sorry, Nicholas.
No, I just don't know if the any about the actual use cases where things like registries and just not using MIME type wouldn't be enough.
I haven't figured out yet in web chat how to raise my hand.
No, that's fine. Go ahead. Just chat.
Q plus.
Q plus, yeah.
Q plus. Okay. Yeah, just in response to what Nicholas, is that right, just said?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. It's important that we look at scenarios and try to figure out specific scenarios and solve real problems rather than just do things for the sake of doing them. And that's why I kind of preface this with a little bit of how I came into this and what I was trying to achieve with the schema.org, having a common way to represent data and have both OData processors and JSON-LD processors understand that. And we can go through more scenarios as well. The problem with introducing a MIME type is it limits the interoperability. If OData JSON has a MIME type and JSON-LD has a MIME type, then necessarily one payload can't include both pieces of information. And so that's where coming in. I don't know if it needs to be a registry or if there's something like the namespacing mechanism of XML or what the best way to try to avoid conflicts would be. In OData JSON, we've gone more towards a namespacing mechanism, which it sounds like from the mailing list thread, JSON-LD has something similar as well in the ability to set up aliases, where the alias is then associated with an actual URI.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think the idea is that far-fetched. I think it's something interesting to continue to pursue. And I do think there are advantages to within one payload and one MIME type being able to express both the keywords that JSON-LD feels are important and the keywords that OData's JSON feel are important, and where there's overlap between those keywords, ideally having a common way to express them and a common keyword for those concepts.
Mm-hmm.
The one other, well, that's probably a detail that as we move forward, we can work out which of these three scenarios and work through details of the different scenarios that we may want to call out.
Yep. Dave, you're in the queue.
Yeah, I definitely think that before we try any other mechanisms for addressing this problem, we should go with what Manu described as the third option, which is to try and create an OData JSON-LD context to address this. Because, the JSON-LD context mechanism was specifically designed for exactly this purpose. So we should really try it out and see if it can just address this problem. And then maybe it won't be one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it seems like creating an OData JSON-LD context would be the simplest way to get alignment between the two metadata formats. At least that's the naive take on it, right? I mean, we might find there to be some very, you know, complicated issues when we end up creating the context, but that seems like a good first cut, because if we can address the issue like that, then, you know, problem solved. We can express both OData and JSON-LD in the same document without issue. The one remaining problem with that approach, though, is that, you know, you have to use an application /LD plus JSON MIME type, or use the header. But yeah, it would be interesting to see if that actually, like Dave said, it would be interesting to see if that actually addresses the issue.
So, I would love to do that. I think both practically for being able to come up with this a white paper or document or whatever that says this is how in a payload you'd represent both JSON-LD keywords and OData keywords would be hugely valuable to just have that out there and that understanding. I also think it would be great if moving forward we really are sincere that we would love to bring OData's JSON format and JSON-LD format closer together. I think that exercise would help educate both the JSON-LD folks and the OData JSON folks as to what each were trying to do, how each could be represented, the additional information that they're trying to add, and I think that would lay the groundwork for better integration moving forward. So if I would love to work with somebody on just putting together some examples that show, you know, here is a JSON-LD marked up with the OData JSON keywords that both a JSON-LD processor could understand and a typical OData JSON processor could understand.
Yep. Yeah, and I think that just keep doing what you're doing. Talk to folks on the mailing list. You know, join us on the calls, or rate. You know, say that you'd like to have a discussion about, you know, the OData stuff and the JSON-LD stuff on a call. And the people that are on the call today would, I'm sure, many of us would be happy to participate in that discussion and figure out a way to represent OData and JSON-LD and vice versa. So yeah, agreed to everything you said. Greg, you're on the queue, sorry.
Yeah, I just wanted to echo something Nicholas had said in his comments about RDF really being the underlying model here and sort of the real value that gives. And with, particularly with respect to schema.org, which basically is an RDF vocabulary, then it's sort of an exercise as to how you sort of lay that out within JSON. And JSON-LD attempts to take a minimal approach of doing that, but I'm wondering if there was any consideration sort of in a data model in OData about how, if there's some form of an RDF alignment there, and if that really is sort of a rubric that we might use going forward on how to resolve these things so that we really have a separation between the sort of the data model and the sort of the syntactic overlay that represents that.
So certainly OData has been looking at RDF for a while and trying to understand the differences and similarities between what RDF and Sparkle provide and what OData provides. And I really do view the two technologies as being compatible, and in fact complementary. The RDF model, the triple model, is a very, very generic model that can support basically any type of data storage, and so that makes it very popular for collecting general knowledge about stuff. OData's model is a little bit more constrained. It's a little bit more structured. And it's actually very convenient for when you have rectangular data and you're just trying to, and rectangular is an oversimplification. It's really more precise would be an entity model where you have entities and relationships. It makes it very easy to expose and consume the data in terms of that model, in terms of those relationships. So I'm actually speaking at the Semantic Web Conference later this month in Sydney on using OData as a way to model data that is stored in a triple store. So I think one interesting way is when your data is already in a triple store, using OData to expose a very structured interface that then tools can interact with and build very rich experiences with. The other thing is...
I'm sorry, I put ISWIC, is that correct? Is it international? The ISWIC, ISWC?
Yes.
Yeah.
The other thing that I think is interesting is being able to have a RDF format for OData, because OData is a protocol and actually a set of formats. So we have two formats today, an ATOM format and a JSON format, and being able to expose a third format, an RDF format, using RDF Turtle or whichever, would fit very naturally into what we're doing with OData. So you could use the same protocol, the same structure of the data that you're querying, and then the RDF that you get back is, you know, RDF is a perfectly fine way to represent the data that is the result of a request against an OData service. And I actually had an opportunity to talk to Tim Berners-Lee and Nigel and a few other people at last year's conference. And Tim Berners-Lee in particular was very interested in the idea of being able to consume an OData service as RDF in order to basically mine that information, to crawl that information, collect it, and put it in a triple store that then can be queried using Sparkle. So I think there's, I think where the data starts out as triples, there's very natural ways that you could model it as an OData service. In fact, you could make multiple different OData services over the same triple store, exposing different sort of, if you will, handcrafted models on top of them. And then I think it's also interesting where somebody just has some very, you know, structured data. They're not trying to represent the world. They just have their own little niche that they're trying to describe, to be able to expose that as OData and yet make that data available to the semantic web community in standard formats. And I don't know, maybe if JSON-LD becomes, you know, a preferred format for RDF, we're basically there by having a combined JSON-LD and JSON, OData JSON format, and we wouldn't need to add a RDF format to OData.
There are a lot of really interesting things that could happen in the future, depending on, you know, where you know what gets adopted. In general, we're just talking about a way of publishing data, right? Data that's siloed right now. You could publish it as OData, JSON, OData, ATOM, or JSON-LD, and each one of those formats could potentially be sucked into a RDF triple store. You don't necessarily have to have a triple store backing all of this stuff. It could just be an SQL database or a MongoDB document-based database. But the idea here is that we now are getting these linked data formats out there that can then be pulled into, you know, an RDF data store or some other type of object store on the client side. The problem, I think, though, is that it's not clear, you know, it's not clear which one of these formats is going to do really well in the future. But the thing that we have to make ensure is that whichever format does well has a way of being, you know, mapped to a fairly standard data format that, and right now that data format seems to be RDF, at least when you talk to the W3C camp. I think my background, my view of JSON-LD is a bit different from from it being an RDF format. I think first and foremost, it's just an object format. It translates very well to RDF and triples, but there's no need to actually convert it to triples in RDF for it to be useful for consuming clients. And I would expect the same to be true for OData. You know, you could probably use a subset of OData and just work with the objects directly. You don't need to translate them into some kind of underlying data format other than just a hash table, you know, in memory for the data to be useful to you.
I think it would be useful to highlight use cases for which, say, OData has some particular advantages over JSON-LD or vice versa.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
and
just to be clear, OData is more than just a format. So it's more than an atom format and a JSON format. So it defines a set of conventions for URLs, for actually querying the store and expressing filters and sorts and so forth. As well as the expansion, the depth of the request that you're making. It defines semantics for updating the data. It defines additional headers in the request and the response for conveying additional information. So there's more to it than just the format. In fact, the formats are somewhat pluggable to the rest of the protocol. Mm-hmm. So that's why, you know, if you know, an RDF format would help the integration between services that are exposing OData and the rest of the semantic web community, then, you know, I think it's something that fits very well into the vision of OData.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like a very good and important path to explore. From my point of view, having been, sort of an RDF head for many years, I don't really think too much about it being triples. Triples to me is more like if you think of the Unicode layer of text, but the important thing is the formation of expressions with that, and the RDF represents the graphs of relations between things, i.e. entities. So on that level, the triple store is just one of many possible instruments for treating that graph. Just as Manu said, you can also use MongoDB or something else. And as you also noted, Mike, the it's protocol independent. There is also the linked data platform working group, for instance, which sort of tackles similar aspects as OData does, but there are other ways of doing that. There are existing REST-based platforms today. I've at times packaged RDF in Atom stores, although that it became a little bit too indirected, but it's a possibility. But I think it's a good to investigate that path, because then it mostly becomes about the vocabularies used, and I believe that there is lots of value in aligning vocabularies that have been defined within the OData community and with schema.org and with the previous existing vocabularies in the semantic web communities. I think that's where the real value of interoperability will come in the coming years if we continue to discuss these aspects together.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Well said.
Okay, so I think there's a lot to discuss here, and I think it's probably going to take us at least multiple weeks to even figure out for the further work that we want to collaborate on. I think at this point we could definitely say that there's a desire to collaborate on this stuff more closely. Exactly where that path is going to take us, we don't know yet. And in the meantime, you know, we're at the end of the candidate rec phase. I don't think that someone speak up if they disagree, but I don't think that there's much that we can do in the next 2 months. Any further concrete things that we can work on for OData alignment to be placed into the spec that's going to go to recommendation shortly. I think we have what we need for just very basic alignment right now. We have a something that we can build on, which is basically the at symbol being used as the thing that specifies what a metadata keyword is, and then we can talk about MIME types and OData, JSON-LD context, and all those other kinds of things as the weeks roll on. Hopefully, in parallel to this stuff getting a recommendation, because you know we wanna figure this stuff out sooner than later. We wanna have some document somewhere that outlines when you should use JSON-LD or when you should use OData or when you could use either one. And it's there isn't a big difference between either one. That document would be very helpful to have. So, Mike, do you have anything concrete that you would like us to do over the next month or two or three, or is this more of a let's keep the conversation going and let's work on some of the things that we brought up in the discussion today, but as far as the JSON-LD 1.0 specifications are concerned, there's not much that we need to change there, if anything.
Excuse me. So I realize that we're both heads down trying to get stuff out, so I don't want to add a lot of burden to either of our schedules. But I would love to even come up with a simple example, proof of concept example, that shows this payload is a JSON-LD compliant application slash LD plus JSON payload that has the OData keywords in it, and would be understood by OData and understood by JSON-LD. I think going through that minimal exercise will help us validate our assumption that there is nothing that we need to do in the JSON-LD specification at this point, that we have everything that we need. I'm hopeful that that will be a fairly quick exercise just to check that checkbox. And maybe along the way to identify things for JSON-LD 1.1 that would make that mapping easier. Just thinking through that, when you were describing your option 3, one of the things that came to me was, rather than separately registering each of the aliases for the OData elements, if there was a mechanism in JSON-LD where you could basically register a pattern or a prefix, and how that relates to the aliasing or the namespacing mechanism, would be an interesting thing that I don't understand currently, but would like to understand. So I don't know if there's anyone who on the JSON-LD side would be willing to provide a couple examples that I could then work off and expand with the OData, with the full set of OData keywords, or the best way to move forward on that.
How about this? If you could mark up a person, a place, and an event in OData and post it to the mailing list, I think a number of us would be able to take that, create a JSON-LD context for OData, and show you what that expression in JSON-LD would look like. We would be able to take that data, create a JSON-LD context from it, and say, here you go. This is both OData and JSON-LD expressed in the same document.
That would be great.
Okay, let's do that. If you could give us a person, a place, and an event example expressed in OData to the mailing list, we will create a JSON-LD context for that and kind of post it back to the list.
Perfect.
Great. Paul, you're on the queue.
I just wanted to, it's more of a comment about the fact that there is interest out in the wider community. The comment before that JSON-LD wasn't really seen or used as much as an RDF format. We actually are using it as such. And we're kind of in the interesting position. We originally started our application stuff working with OData, and found that it didn't do everything we needed, so that's when we switched over to the RDF model. So there is there is definitely interest in industry and in the wider industry for the synergy between the two, because we have customers that are probably going to want OData access. We have in our internal stuff, which is using pretty much pure RDF, using JSON-LD as the serialization. So if we could merge, find a way as a community of both the JSON-LD community and Microsoft to bridge that gap, that would be a fantastic win for us.
Good.
Great. And I'd love to leverage the experience of someone who's been in both camps and really understands sort of some of the differences and some of the similarities between them. Separately, I'd love to understand what things that you were trying to do in OData that you weren't able to do. And certainly OData wasn't designed to represent every possible scenario, but we have done a lot in OData version 4 to expand what it can represent.
This was way back in version 2 was, I think, had been released. I think version 3 was almost pre-release, so it's been a while.
Uh-huh.
So that we can take that. If you're interested, we could probably take that offline.
I'd love to explore that offline. If you want to send me an email, mikep@microsoft.com. I'd love to get your thoughts there.
Right. And if there's something that's relevant in that conversation that the JSON-LD group should hear about, we'd love to hear about that as well.
Okay. We'll definitely bring that back.
Yep. Okay.
So that was my comment more than anything else. Just to kind of as a point of encouragement.
Okay.
Great.
All right. So if we still have a couple more things on the agenda to get to, I think we have something concrete that we can work with Mike on right now. Mike, you're just going to give us a person, place, and event marked up in OData,
yep.
And then we're going to get back to you on what that looks like in JSON-LD, and then figure out if the JSON-LD processors will be able to read that document. The question is, what do we need to do to make it so that the OData processors can also read that document? Okay. Anything else on this agenda item before we move forward?
I just want to say thank you to the JSON-LD group for the follow-up and the interest and the time today to discuss this.
And thank you to you as well for joining and kind of talking us through this. This is good. We really like collaborating with other groups, and so this is good. I hope that we are able to collaborate as well as we did today on the call over the next couple of months on this stuff.
Great.
All right. Okay. Thanks again, Mike. Next up is the implementation report for the JSON-LD CR. There was one bug that was found in the spec that we kind of reintroduced or we fixed in the spec. We had a test case added as a result of that to the test suite. From what I understand, we have three implementations of that test. Three of Dave Longley's implementations, Node.js, PHP, and Python. We have Marcus who updated his processor, and then Greg that updated his processor to match the new test. Is any of that incorrect?
I believe that's correct.
Okay.
When is the drop-dead date to getting the implementation reports in? Because I was given permission to send our report last Thursday, and we're trying to work through some. So we're going to have to work through. There's some failures with the latest test cases in ours. Mm-hmm. Most of them pass, I think, but some of the newer tests actually fail.
How much time would you need?
I don't know. I'll have to go through it. I just got the report today. Our guys probably a day or so.
Okay. We could push it off to next Tuesday.
I think it would be good to publish that. I've also been pushing on the Java JSON-LD folks to get an updated report in.
I think with a week we could get those 10 resolved. Now, again, as I mentioned before, we are not implementing Compact because it is not in our use case for our business purposes. But I think I've explained that in the past about why we aren't.
No, that's fine. That's fine. I guess if the group is fine with this, we could hold off the closing of the candidate rec phase until you guys submit a report that you're happy with. Just know that we're waiting on you guys, so the sooner the better, but, you know, we understand that everyone's pretty busy.
Yeah, so give me just a second.
Okay.
Nicholas also had some issues regarding what he needed to do.
Yeah. First off, I wonder. I suspect that it would be valuable to have a report, although the processor in RDFlib is limited to from RDF and to RDF. Those are the only ones I can really produce proper tests. Coverage for. There is support for compaction and expansion in a sense, but it doesn't compact and expand JSON shapes. It just supports compacting an RDF graph, so without jumping through a lot of hoops to sort of tweak the test data to make them work with those aspects of compaction. I don't think it's valuable for me to use the tests to see that the compaction works as expected, but as you can imagine, since it compacts an RDF graph directly, it doesn't keep any nesting or anything like that. It just processes the expanded JSON LD to a graph and then compacts the resulting graph. So it's sort of, by implication, a flattening all the time, if you will. Mm. But I suppose a test report with just to and from RDF would be valuable as well, would it?
Yes.
Yeah, it seems that you sort of have to implement expand and flatten if you're going to take arbitrary JSON LD and turn it into RDF. Or are you really working on a dialect, a JSON LD dialect, which is sort of more flattened.
It's true. It takes anything, so it does expand and flatten by implication when it creates a graph. So it's possible that I could do some coverage on expand and flatten. No, I don't. I think there are edge cases in expand at least where you, since we still keep the structure, so it's only flattened that would be reasonably applicable, I think.
I think that would be great, and I believe the flattened tests include all of the expand tests.
Right. I'll take a look at if I can do that. That sounds reasonable.
That's part of the reason it's broken into different manifests, is so that you can just focus on one aspect of it.
Yeah. I really would like that. That's, it's sort of a bit annoying that there is no flatten plus compact combo. If you see what I mean.
There actually should be at least one test that does that. I believe we did add it to... We added another... See, perhaps Marcus remembers. We either added it to flatten to be able to hit some other flags, such as to compact. And if not, then maybe there's another test that we need to add. Because... being able to compact as part of flattening as part of the algorithm.
Right. Yeah, that's true. I'll see if I can do something. And if the deadline for sending in it's extended to next Tuesday, I will most.
Yeah. Well, as long, I mean, so as long as you need, but knowing that we really want to wrap this up.
Yeah,
right.
It's more for the sake of the group than for JSON LD, RDF lib being in the... I mean, I suppose we can do a new generation, do the next stage of the publication as well.
I think if possible, to show some support by major platforms, such as in the case of Java JSON LD, both Jenna and the other one.
Yeah, so I certainly wouldn't.
An RDF lib, certainly.
Yeah, it's more showing off that JSON-LD is implemented would be nice, and we could do that a bit later than for this stage.
Well, the stage that it really matters is this stage. After everything after this is kind of like, you know, icing on the cake. It's nice, but it's not as powerful as going to W3C management and saying, look, we got during the candidate rec phase we had 6 implementations, and we got implementation reports from these 2 other organizations in addition to the ones that we were expecting. That reflects
right.
Well. So if we can get RDF Lib and Paul's company to
And I'll send in the 2 from RDF as it is. I think it's 94% coverage right now because there are some limits. I don't know if we have the time now to discuss some parts of what the things that are problematic are.
Let's can we shift that to the end of the call?
Yes.
And then those that want to stick around and discuss that can.
Yes.
Yeah, by the way, this is Paul. I just talked with my colleague, and he thinks his belief is, we can get those last ones finished up over this next week with no problems.
Okay, fantastic. Thanks, Paul. Great, great, great. Okay, so let's backburner Nicholas's questions just for the time being. Talk very quickly about the plan for the proposed rec. And then jump back into Nicholas's concerns.
Yeah, I'd just like to add one other thing to get it into the minutes anyway. Gavin has done some work trying to deal with large JSON-LD graphs and has a problem with a number of the different implementations, including my own, taking like 300 seconds or so to do something. It struck me that it would be really useful to have a streaming publishing profile that might be something that I would look at later on anyway that would in specific get around some of the requirements of sorting which is necessary mostly to be sure that bnodes are named predictably, but for most RDF uses predictable bnode naming is not important, so if there's anyone else interested, I think a publication profile for streaming that's specifically designed for very large data sets and does not incur the in-memory problems, in particular sorting, a lot of sorting, I think would be something that would be useful as a note.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds good.
Yeah. If you'll remember, we tried to keep it as a streaming format for a while, and then we just kind of gave up because the other use cases took kind of greater precedence.
I think part of the problems we had there was having to, because of not being able to rely upon ordering, sort of you have to hold on to everything before you can do anything, which pretty much binds you to being in memory. If we looked at something as being a text format, so it was an actual serialization format that was also representable as JSON, where you could then rely upon the order of keywords showing up prior to other data, then I think that would simplify streaming quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Agreed. Okay, anything else on implementations? Except for Nicholas's thing, which we'll discuss in a bit.
Only to say that I'm also pushing to try to get the Java JSON-LD implementation report in. So.
Okay.
I have a question on tests.
Uh-huh.
What is the policy on adding new tests? Because there were some bugs filed on the Python implementation that were...
I'm sorry, who's talking?
This is Dave Lane.
Oh, Sorry.
Sorry, yeah, I'm usually quiet. there were some bugs filed on the Python implementation that our test suite apparently didn't catch, so they fixed them, but I was thinking we should probably add tests for that, and we weren't quite sure what the policy was on adding tests at this point, since it may cause other implementations to break, too.
So if we add those tests, the risk is that some of the implementations will break and we'll have to regenerate all of the reports. So if all of the implementers on the call are okay with adding those tests and testing their implementations and submitting a new report by next Tuesday, then we're fine. If that's going to be too much for the implementers, then we probably want to add those tests after the fact, after we get out of the candidate rec phase. This is always the problem with extending candidate rec, is that we will always find, you know, new tests, new corner cases to add, and it's just we have to make sure that all the implementers can regenerate a new implementation report before we need to go to the proposed rec phase. So Dave, Marcus, Greg, if we add new tests, can you guys generate a new implementation report pretty easily?
You have to fix the bugs, too.
Well, I'm not sure for the other guys, but at this point it's easy to generate a new report. It's mm-hmm. an automated process for me. We need to resubmit. I think that I guess it would be useful perhaps to have a little discussion on the mailing list as to what the character of the problems that you've encountered are, because I agree with Mono. This is a never-ending cycle, and in RDFA we're still finding tests coming in. Now, one of the advantages we have with RDFA is we have an infrastructure that allows anyone to test any of the or almost all of the implementations when they discover something. But we do need to end at some point. I believe our intention is to keep the test suite living so that we can add more tests in the future, but those just would not be used for the purpose of doing a CR transition. Mm-hmm. So I think the tests would be most critical if they pointed out flaws in the specifications that meant that there was something that you could not implement correctly with the implementation, rather than finding areas in which there's perhaps some inconsistencies of based upon some vagueness in the algorithms.
Yeah, I think these were just path handling things and just handling with base and stuff, so I can't remember. I have to actually look it up. I can post a message to the mailing list pointing to all the issues.
I put a quick little note in there in IRC for the only thing that I think may or may not cause an issue. If you guys just want to look at it real quick.
Yeah. Don't we have a test like that?
I think we left it out of that comprehensive test.
There are tests that result in an empty relative URL. I know. But this is the type of area that it's really easy to to just go overboard on.
Yeah.
And I think if you were to do the same with Turtle, you'd come across all sorts of things. And, of course, notably, Turtle doesn't have serialization tests. But
Could we defer these tests to when we're out of the PR phase? Because I think the one thing that we've learned with the RDFA test suite is that we do have tests kind of coming in after the fact. In that implementers are usually pretty good about at least, you know, checking those every couple of months and updating the implementations to fix issues that they've found. Would anyone object to that?
I'm perfectly fine with deferring them, just as long as, you know, it's fine if we have to maybe make some changes. Maybe there will be conflicts with the implementations, and we'll have to make a decision as to what the correct, result is.
Right. Does anyone disagree to adding these tests after the CR phase?
I think that's the right thing to do.
Okay.
For what it's worth, I just posted the issue numbers in there. In IRC,
I put a link to the test. I put a link to the test that does not cover making either having an empty string or just the last little base part of the URL.
Right.
For what it's worth, what Marcus said, I agree with, and I made our processors do the same thing that Marcus's processor does, which does not compact to the empty string. It compacts to the last part of the URL.
Okay. And
those processors pass all the tests.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I've been negligent in editing this bit.
No, that's fine. This is a pretty technically specific discussion. Okay, so let's kind of push adding these tests off. It's just because it's hard for the implementers to keep hitting a moving target during the CR phase. And I think all of us are pretty happy with the amount of test coverage that we have for the vast majority of the non-corner case tests here. Any disagreement? All right, we'll go ahead and add these tests in after the CR phase, or probably after the PR phase, after we hit rec. Okay, I think, let's see, next up is the plan for a proposed rec. And I think the plan here is we are delaying by a week so that we can hopefully get implementation reports in from Paul and Nicholas. Once we have those implementation reports in and everything looks good enough, then we will close down the CR period and then probably move to do a proposed recommendation of the specifications. The other thing that needs to happen is an official response needs to go out to Mike about the discussion we had today, which I think we have agreement on what the group should do or what we're doing for the next couple of months on that issue. And then basically this group is going to move to have the RDF working group move the document to propose rec. And the RDF working group has to agree to do that. And then there's a 7-day delay. Then we have to create the PR-ready specs, get a meeting with W3C management. And if they approve publication, then we enter a month-long voting phase where the W3C member companies vote on whether or not they want to make our JSON-LD an official W3C recommendation. And if the votes go well, which we are thinking that they're probably going to go well, then we will have a rec after that period in time. Any questions or comments on the plan for proposed rec?
I'm wondering if this is the point where having the concept being behind us might put us in a holding pattern.
Oh, yeah, you're right. They're still not...
I think they're in LC.
Oh, I thought they were in CR. I thought they... Did they get back out to LC, or...?
I think there was a problem with the LC that the documents were published in July, but the call for comments wasn't set out to the appropriate groups, so that's pushed them back.
6 months, yeah.
Well, not by 6 months, by a couple more weeks.
Oh, okay. That's not bad then. Then we might take the approach where we, you know, make the references to RDF concepts non-normative, which is kind of ridiculous, and put the RDF working group to sleep, and then update the reference when it comes time to.
This is something. Perhaps you need to bring this up with. Yeah, I mean, it's really for the RDF working group, I think, to come up with this. So maybe you need to send something, perhaps for discussion on tomorrow's RDF WG call.
Yeah, okay. I'll request the RDF working group. Propose a way for Jason LD to proceed to PR. In spite of the RDF concepts. Okay. I just took an action to request that the RDF working group propose a way for us to proceed to PR. Even though the RDF concepts document is in LC, we thought that this was going to be a danger, and now it is definitely a danger. Okay, anything else for the proposed rec plan? Okay, Nicholas, RDF lib implementation concerns.
Yes. Well, first off, there are two, well, depending on how you see it, easy things. The two RDF 116 and 117 tests fail as far as I can tell because the URL join implementation in this Python URL libs, standard lib, doesn't behave correctly on the URL which is present in both of these tests, which looks like that. It has three slashes. My question, though, is whether or not that's intentional or just an accident in editing the tests, because there are other URLs in both of these tests which has this shape, i.e. there is only two slashes. It looks like it might be a typing error, because the behavior in the test seems correct, though, the expected result, and the Java URI implementation behaves correctly, but I wonder if it's just an editing error, because I don't think that this is something that we necessarily need to test in this test suite.
I think if we were to do something like this, if we were to have tested that malformed IRI, that would have been part of expansion or possibly flattening, not to RDF, sort of not the right place to test that. So I think it's probably an editorial problem. And I don't really know that this seems like we should be testing the proper use of URLs and trying to get into odd URL normalization for that sort of the wrong layer. That would be for testing a URL library, IRI library.
Mm-hmm.
So
yep, you're the editor of this test, Greg.
Oh, then, and if I'm the editor, then yeah, it was a bug that perhaps most of us, our implementations just happened to gloss over. So I'd say we just fix this.
I agree.
Does that entail something problematic in terms of the running the tests and things like that?
I don't think we would have to ask the implementers to run the tests again on this. I mean, we already know that there are multiple implementations that pass this test. Removing that slash should have absolutely no effect And if it does, then it's a bug in the URL handling library. It's not a bug in the implementation.
Right. That's good. Then I can possibly scratch off two failures.
Okay.
Or can, because I've tried that. Then there is a similar one in test 102 where I cannot recall actually if I believe that the Python URL behaves correctly or not. I think it was, I tried to study the URI spec a bit and I just couldn't really tell.
Are you using Python 3.0 or 2.7 or the Urlib 2 or 3?
Python 2.5 to 3.3.
Oh, okay.
We test
wait, oh, wait, wait. All of those Python versions in between?
Yeah.
Them don't handle 2.5,
2.6, 2.7, and 3,
okay.
2 and up. I'm not really sure what the correct behavior should be, though, but I suspect that Java is, has been fairly hard, have a hard look at it, so it's not unheard of that Python has some problems in details of the these protocols. But in this 102 test, this URL was problematic in my tests. I don't really know. I don't have any suggestion. I would be fine just not passing that test because I didn't have time to find out if it was, if the expectation is wrong. I suspect that it is the right expectation in this case because the test for this is intended to normalize these paths, and I suspect that the URL it just doesn't normalize that part properly. So it's mostly to mention it. If anybody has any reaction to it in the coming days, perhaps we can fix it. If I come to any other conclusion, I will email on the list and say that it might be something we need to fix in the test.
Dave must have encountered this.
Nicholas, are you using the POSIX path package in Python?
No.
Could you give that a shot?
Right, I should look at that.
Yeah, because Dave Longley, your Python implementation passes this test? Is that correct?
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
Do you use URLlib in some part, or you use that?
Yeah, I do. We use URLlib for parsing the URLs and unsplitting them and splitting them.
Right.
But we also use POSIX path because it might have been needed for exactly this problem. I don't remember.
Right. I'll shake it out then to see.
Okay.
And then I don't think there was... Yeah, perhaps I think that this was discussed fairly recently. It's setting base to null. Let's see if there was something strange there. Yeah, I think that the expectation that when I have JSON-LD with where the result is a sort of hard relative IRI, where there is the IRI isn't absolute, RDFlib still consumes it as RDF. When I read in an IRI construct having that, it doesn't drop it, and I would pass the test if I set a flag or something to be more strict about not accepting explicitly relative IRIs in graph input. I don't really remember the discussion about that. I think there was some... It's at risk in the spec, I think, setting base to null in the context. And
yeah, but I don't think we're removing it at this point.
No, it's just that it expects to drop the triple when you turn that into n quads. I suppose it might be even illegal n quads because NQuads doesn't have any base notion, right?
NQuads, RDF requires that all IRIs be absolute. Certain formats such as Turtle and Trig allow for using relative IRIs.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I think the RDF lib is
actually
in triples, yeah. Yeah. The resulting
in
triples.
Flag in the spec.
Which flag is that?
Let me see if I can find it. It is the produce generalized RDF flag.
Right. I do support that for other things, so I should look at... Yeah. I should see if I can work that in. Thanks.
Sure.
That's about it. The other problems I'll see if I can work around. The one is a limitation in RDF lib where when it parses a double literal, it doesn't preserve the lexical representation. So I sort of it get lost before it reaches my layer. So that might have to stay in as a fail. And then I have not yet disallowed lists of lists, so this implementation...
In that you support lists of lists?
Yes.
Okay.
And I might keep that for now and just make a note of it.
In general, is that expressed as a negative test or a positive test? Since I think the idea, with Turtle anyway, it's perfectly reasonable for implementations to fail negative tests. And that's to allow them to extend things. So a negative test would say a negative syntax test might fail if it found some syntax which is not allowed, say, in Turtle, but an implementation might implement such an extension, so it would be reasonable for it to not pass such negative tests. I don't know that we did that.
I was going to ask, does that apply to the processing mode that we had? You know, we added that processing mode for JSON-LD 1.0. Would you have to be in a different processing mode to have those extensions?
Yeah, I think the processing mode is intended... Yeah, I think you would. Turtle didn't have that. The idea of the processing mode would be that that causes you to turn off such extensions so that you would do that. Nonetheless, I think that trying to get to a point where you have 100%, I mean, you're spending, as you know, 90% of the effort spent in the last 10% of the test, and you really are reaching diminishing returns on things like this. So I would not worry too much about not being able to show 100% test coverage.
No, that seems reasonable. Certainly it's more valuable to send a report in due time in this case. And I think that we've shaded off the problematic things, and these other ones, apart from the list of lists perhaps, is quite reasonably limitations in the underlying RDF lib. And those are just bugs in that which should be treated elsewhere. And that's not for us to get caught in.
Okay. Okay, so was that the last bit there?
Yes.
Okay, all right. So you'll be able to take that information, modify the implementation, and then submit the... some kind of implementation report by next Tuesday.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. Thank you, Nicholas.
I can probably send one today if we really need to. So.
Okay.
But well, the sooner you send one, the sooner we grease the skids of making sure that any formatting issues or whatnot are dealt with.
Yes.
Okay. Anything else that we need to discuss on the call today? Okay. Thank you, everyone, for the call. Sorry it was so long, but I think we dealt with all the last bits of things that we need to deal with before we go to PR, hopefully. Okay, great. Have a great week, everyone. We'll have another call next Tuesday to hopefully try and move to take this to PR. Okay, have a great week, everyone. Chat with you next Tuesday.
You too. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. Bye.